Tell me, are you married?
Not yet, ma'am, but I plan to be.
To another one of these women soldiers?
Yes,
if I survive this.
Do you swear to me, on the holy name of God, that you are taking them to their families?
Yes.
Prima deflated, her face creasing into tears. Baron moved nearer.
Let me tell you about their families, ma'am, so that you will understand. Brandy and Stassi, Prudence and Serenity, as you call them, have aunts and uncles. Their dead mother's sisters and brother, their father's sister. Paolo's grandfather and uncle, and Driss's aunt and uncle. We've brought recordings of them, asking for the safe return of these children.
Prima looked down and away. She had the look of someone who will argue to the end, but knows she cannot win.
They are happy here. It will hurt them to move them now.
They are happy now. They are small children. And I know Hazel told us that you have been kind to them. But they will grow older, and you are not and cannot be the same as their own family. They need to know their own flesh and blood.
They will cry.
They may. They have had a difficult few years, losing their parents and then coming to such a different place and leaving it again. They cried when they came here, didn't they? But at the end, all children cry over something, and that is not reason enough to leave wrong as it is and good undone.
Prima folded her apron.
I am undone, but I had to try.
You are a loving mother.
Baron was surprised at this. He had not thought of Meyerson as caring about families. Yet her tone seemed to settle Prima.
I want you to see recordings of the children's families.
I don't have to. I believe you.
No, but it may help you understand.
Meyerson nodded to Baron, who set up the cube reader and display screen.
This is a recording of Brandy and Stassi's parents before they were killed.
On the screen, a woman with a long dark braid over her shoulder cradled a baby in her arms.
That's when Stassi was born. Their mother's name was Girion. Her parents were from Gilmore Colony. Brandy was a year old then.
A man appeared, holding an older infant in his arms.
That's their father, Vorda. He and Girion had been married 8 years. His family had been merchant spacers for generations.
The screen flickered, and now showed a slightly older Brandy, stacking blocks with an unsteady hand.
Boys, toys.
We value all the gifts God has given a child. If God did not mean her to build, why would he have given her the ability? They sent this recording to her grandparents. Her mother's father was a construction engineer in Gilmore. He was pleased that his granddaughter had inherited his gift.
The child pushed the blocks over, gave a dimpled grin into the camera, and stood up, dancing in a circle. Then her mother came into view, carrying Stassi, now a wiggly toddler herself. She reached out and caught Brandy to her, gave her a little hug. Professor Meyerson turned up the sound of the cube reader.
So, we've decided to take them with us. Captain Lund says that'll be fine. There are two children about the same age and a couple of older ones. The ship has a fully equipped nursery and playroom with all the educational materials you could hope to see, so don't worry about them falling behind. It's as safe as being on planet. Safer in some ways. No bugs. And no weather. I know, you like the changing seasons, but with these two, if it's not colds in the winter, it's allergies in the summer.
Professor Meyerson stopped the reader.
That was made just before they rejoined the Elias Madero, about a year before they died.
Was there sickness on the ship after all?
No.
Meyerson glanced at Hazel, who shook her head.
They were killed in the capture of the ship, ma'am.
No. It must have been an accident. Mitch would never kill women. You believe our men killed the parents? Orphaned those children on purpose? Killed mothers? That's why you attacked us?
They considered them perverts. That's what was on the recordings.
I don't believe it. You're lying. You have no proof.
Prima grabbed Meyerson's arm.
Do you? Does your device show anything like that?
Heads up. Maybe trouble on the way. Some kind of gathering across town.
A tiny picture flashed on the corner of Baron's helmet display, drawing his attention away from Prima. someone in a bright blue bathrobe or something similar yelling at a bunch of men.
Excuse me, ma'am, do you know what this might be?
He transferred the image to the larger screen they'd been using for the cube reader. Prima turned to look.
It's Parson Wales.
Parson is a religious leader. Amazing! Look at that garment!
Professor, I don't think that's the most important thing.
Oh, yes, of course. Sorry. It's just seeing things I've only read about before. It's quite exciting. I wish I had more time.
Not this visit.
Baron turned to Prima.
Please, ma'am, the children?
Come with me, then.
She led them on to a room where two older women and a dozen young girls from Hazel's age down were sitting, heads bent, over their sewing. Only the women looked up. The younger one stood.
It's all right, Quarta. They do have families. Real families.
Now the children looked up, shyly, staring at the intruders. Baron smiled at them. He didn't want to be a frightening memory. Two of the children stared at Hazel a long moment.
Patience? Yes. I'm back. Do you remember your Uncle Stepan?
The child nodded, her face solemn.
He wants to see you again, and so does your Aunt Jazz. We can go home now, Brandy.
The girl's face lit up, and she dropped her sewing. Then she looked cautiously at the older women.
You may go with Patience. Hazel. Now, Prudence.
The girl ran to Hazel and hugged her.
I didn't forget. I promise I didn't forget.
She leaned back, looking up at Hazel's face.
Home to the ship? Will Mama be there? Can I use the computer again? Can I have books?
The other child, younger and shyer, had to be led from her seat. But when she realized she was actually leaving, she clung to Brandy's hand and smiled. The other girls stared, faces solemn. Clearly, they had no idea what was happening. Baron glanced at Prima, hoping she would make the necessary explanation. The older woman grimaced.
Prudence and Serenity are going back to their own families. We wish them God's blessings in their new life.
We will protect them.
The boys were in the boys' wing. Prima dispatched one of the other women to fetch them, while she herself led them to the nursery to pick up Brun's twins. Hazel picked up one twin, and Prima carried the other. By the time they were back to the front hall, the boys were there, looking worried and uncertain.
You need to hear this, Ensign.
Automatically, Baron switched audio to the speakers of the cube reader. The man in the blue robe was in mid-sermon.
Fallen into Satan's snares. God's judgment has fallen on those rangers and on their families for their sins. Suffer not the wicked to prosper, nor the ungodly woman to speak.
Professor Meyerson turned to Prima.
He means you. You're in danger now.
We must retake the rangers' houses and cleanse them of the filth of contamination. Destroy the infidels with holy fire!
Not that there's anything really to worry about. All they've got is old-fashioned small arms and big knives. You'll be safe enough in the ground transport.
No! They have whatever was on the Elias Madero. They said so. When they were talking after I was captured.
What was on Elias Madero? Ship weapons?
I don't know, but something bad. Something they'd stolen from fleet.
A cold wave ran down Baron's spine. The Guernsey had talked about arms traffickers and stolen weapons, and Esme had mentioned that her captain was concerned about missing nuclear warheads.
Major, it could be a lot worse than that. These guys may have our missing nukes.
I knew we shouldn't have brought a Serrano along. Things always get interesting with a Serrano along. All right, Ensign. Suppose you tell the Admiral while I see what I can do to keep these guys from using whatever it is they've got.
Baron had just presence of mind to sever the connection to the cube reader speakers, then switched channels to contact Navarino in orbit.
We're on it, monitoring all local transmissions, and we have scan working on locating any fissionables. Get those kids out of there now if you can.
I don't want to be another man's servant. I don't want my children brought up in another man's house.
Baron spared her a glance, but no more. Then Prima grabbed his arm.
You, your grandmother is really the commander? You are a man of her family, and you must give me your protection.
I'm trying.
I want to go. Me, all my children. Take me to my husband.
Baron stared at her, startled out of his immediate concern.
Take you... You mean to the ship?
Yes. That man...
Prima pointed at the now blank screen.
He will give me to someone else. He may tell them to mute me just because I have talked with you. And if he knew I had killed Jed last night, he would certainly do so.
Heavily, with no grace at all, she knelt in front of Baron.
I claim you as my protector in place of my husband.
Baron glanced around. Professor Meyerson had her usual expression of alert interest, and the guards looked frankly amused.
Let me talk to my grandmother.
No, it is you I claim.
She means it, and she'll probably do something drastic if you don't agree.
Fine. You're under my protection. Get your household together.
I can't speak for the other wives.
Would he give them away? Mute them?
Yes.
Then you can darn well speak for them, and you have. Get them together. Don't bring anything but warm bodies. Major, we're going to be bringing out the whole household. I don't even know how many.
Baron looked at Hazel, who shook her head. Even she didn't know.
We're going to need more transports.
Baron tried to think if they'd have shuttle space. They'd be fine if they crammed in, if nobody blew the shuttles on the way up.